Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, early evening. This is the Sunday Show, sponsored by Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com. Stick with us. Wasn't the one I chose, but it's the one that played.
Love the guitar music.
I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I have become the destroyer of, wait a second, wrong chat group. joining me this afternoon, I'm Gwen Berry, and I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm down here in South Florida, and up in Minneapolis, Minnesota is Jack Jodell.
Hello, everybody.
You in Maryland or you in Ohio today, Wayne?
No, I'm in Columbus, Ohio today, yes.
Okay, so Wayne Johnson rounds out the group. And please remember, anybody in chat, you know, call in and add into the week's dilemma. Global. Yeah, which one thing I would like to say before we begin today, you know, we lost a lot of good folks this week. God, we lost loads of them in Palestine. We lost Elaine Strick, who was a goddess of Broadway, and I loved her dearly.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention the ladies who lunch, and, you know, I hope she can have a decent drink now. And today... Today
she was one brassy broad. I loved her.
She was a hell of a broad. And we lost a really great guy, one of the cutest patooties on the television and the big screen. I loved him, really loved him. The guy from Oklahoma, James Garner.
I'd like to also add he was a fellow Masonic brother like myself.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you
yes,
know,
he was. Yeah,
he was a Mason.
I
once met him in Watkins Glen at a U.S. Grand Prix there. He was a really great guy.
I've loved him ever since the Maverick TV series in the late 50s, man. I was a little kid watching that, and I loved him on that.
Yeah, and he was pretty proud of being an Okie, too, for all the
Okies.
And one other person that we lost this week who was... I saw him play live. Hell, I saw him play live, smoked a cigarette, and had a Jim Beam at the same time. That was Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winters, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't hear about that. That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he and his brother were iconic. They were iconic in the 60s, early 70s.
Yes, that's right. I remember that. Yep.
He was one of the first wild men on the guitar.
Yeah, he was. He truly was. And he had that awesome stage presence, albino-like stage presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, really, truly kind up there. So we lost a lot this week, and the mounting death toll in Palestine is unreasonable and unkind, to say the very least. And then to think that anyone would shoot down and murder 300 or close to or 200 or 300 people out of the sky.
That has definitely been
in Ukraine
one of the worst atrocities in recent memory here, currently going on right now with that.
And their finger pointing all over the place, and we still don't know exactly who did it. But I hope they find out very soon, and I hope those people will be brought to justice, because there's need for that stuff.
Yeah, the leaders in the rebel Ukraine, they grabbed the phone call saying that, you know, he was bragging that he'd shot down another plane, telling his Russian handlers, and I think they even have like a satellite photo of the missile launcher. Usually there's four on the rails the mobile rocket launcher, there was only three left as it was heading back into Russia.
Mm-hmm. That's bad. That's real bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong evidence. What they did is they basically used 300 people, killed 300 people cold-bloodedly just to make a point and to try and push blame on somebody. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, you look at it.
You know what? It goes way past a word I'm going to use right now that I read today that was like one of the best I've ever heard at being really non-cussing, but the full throat of it is whack-a-loon.
Right.
They were real whack-a-loons out there.
Whack-a-loon, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Good word, yep.
It's still too mild.
I agree.
Yeah, it really got dangerous this week in the world, more so than I've seen it in a long time. And what affected America most? I think what affected America most was that they listened to, as usual, all the wrong information, and they're convinced that, you know, there's people over there in Palestine who are, you know, the full-throated terrorists that are coming up for the Israelis. And let me tell you what, when you get a look at those Israelis dragging couches out onto the hilltop, and this is just a very few Israelis. I'm not talking about the majority of the people or the people protesting in Tel Aviv against this, but I am talking about people who are on the border dragging out their couches to watch the bombing as if it's the, you know, every night show now. I mean,
if they were in this country, they would be calling themselves Tea Party members.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh, but that's about right.
But no, that's there's a lot of truth in Jess. And
well,
if only the
Israeli people would stop electing these far-right Likud goofballs like Netanyahu, we wouldn't have this crisis where Israelis are illegally putting up new settlements in areas that were formerly owned by Palestinian people. They're transforming Palestinian people into virtual prisoners within their own borders. It's terrible. They have no rights. They have no legalities. They have nothing they can pursue. All they can do is desperately, you know, strike out any which way they can. And I don't approve what they do if it's violent, but on the other hand, that's the reason that that's happening. It's not because they're by nature violent people or they've been captured by crazy people. That's not the case.
I'm going to quote from the chat room here, with all respect, what's the difference between those on the plane and those in Gaza? War is hell and innocents die, children die. This is the state of the world right now.
Gwen, let me touch base on that. Number one is there's one thing that really just tears my heart that I really cannot tolerate and hits really home with me is when I see children being harmed and blood, you know, things like that. That hits to the core of me.
They're
and
innocent. Two, they don't deserve that.
Absolutely not. And if you look at the Gaza, the way they've, you know, it's been sectioned off just through the way it's been, right? That's really not that much different than when they walled off the Jewish section
in Warsaw.
And it's the same scenarios that bred disease, poverty. You know, there's only so much that you're going to shove a man down before he's going to snap and said, "I'm fighting back."
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that's kind of the scenario we're dealing with. I'm not going to generalize and say, you know, the Israelis, you know, are horrible and stuff because, you know, you have rockets coming in on them too. But until you start living with each other, go ahead, Gwen. I'll let you pick it up from there.
Wayne, the rockets that are being fired by Hamas have no distance, they have no trajectory, and
they're explosive fireworks.
I agree. I was going to say, they're like a big fireworks that can kill people, though. But it's what they have to use to try to, you know, throw back.
In this whole episode, there have been no kills from any Hamas rockets so far. The only kills that have taken place have been in their incursion. And, you know, I got to tell you, gentlemen, I think this is just one great big real estate brokerage.
What
Right.
It's all about the real estate. Oh, agreed.
Exactly.
And it's all about the real estate. Yeah, just like it was the Germans in Warsaw. It was all about the real estate. You know, just squish down the Jews, let them get disease, you know, through attrition, starve them, disease them, and if they try to rebel back, just shoot them for being uppity. And
well,
you know,
it was definitely genocide. The Nazis wanted to destroy the Jewish race altogether. Now, I don't know that the Israelis want to wantonly destroy the Palestinian people, but they're doing a good job of it by just forcibly taking their land
and
cooping them up into little unbelievable areas.
I don't agree with that too much, Jack, because you know what? They know what they're doing over there. They know they are suffocating and killing a whole culture and a whole people. They're trying to do that. They're planning to push them into the sea. I'm going to quote Krell again. Gaza is being sprayed with human wastewater. It's being blockaded. Houses are being bulldozed. It's apartheid, pure and simple.
Well, what it is, in practice, that's what it is. In publicly, they haven't come out like Hitler did about we have got to destroy the Jews and all this stuff. They haven't published anything along those lines that
the
I'm aware of.
Solution.
But in practice, in practice, they're every bit as guilty. So I agree. That's a very, very, very good summation, Gwen.
You meant the Palestinians, not the Jews. Because the Jews have done such a good PR job in the last 25 years of letting everybody know that they are always the victim, and so they have every right to commit any atrocity against a human being. They need to survive.
Yeah, that's a big lie. That's been turned into a big lie.
It really has, and the world is turning against them right now.
Right, and they should. They've got to come to their senses. They're every bit as extreme as the German Nazis were. Every bit as extreme. And they're very, very cruel.
It's not about, you and David agree on this, Jack. It's not about genocide so much as it is real estate.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but it doesn't neglect the fact that
the genocide is being
committed
on
people. And you know, the point is, and it was brought up to me recently here, that in the Talmud, the sacred scrolls that the Orthodox Jewish community holds so sacred and dear, the Zionists are using, manipulating to bring about most of this onslaught, they are basically ignoring that in the Talmud, the Jews are said that they should be a wandering people, that they should not plant any kind of roots in any place. They should keep wandering the earth and living in that kind of a nomadic state. I mean,
The nomadic life didn't really work out for them because it wasn't only Germany, but in Russia, many, Russian Jews, German Jews, came to this country. That's why Einstein ended up here, because they were basically being exterminated in these countries and throughout Europe and other countries in Europe simply for their faith.
And look at what they gave. Look at what they gave us. Man, it's unbelievable the contribution that those persecuted people made. The United States for many years has been a magnet for persecuted peoples from all across the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's not forget, after World War II, who put rockets in the sky for us either, gentlemen?
Exactly.
That was German. That was von Braun. Right.
That's the reason we went to the moon.
Yeah, let me pose this question to both of you, if I may. Now with the shooting down of the Malaysian jet, is Europe, who gets 30% of their energy needs from Russia, are they going to now sit up and say, okay, we can no longer keep enabling this? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I
think that's
America,
a good question.
I think when you take a look at the manufacture of so much of the Ukraine now holding a new armaments over there with USA stamped over it, you really have to look at it and say what responsibility does the whole global community hold over all of the
I agree. There will be a global responsibility for all of this.
Oh yeah,
I'm segmenting it down to just the demographics of basically Western Europe.
Now, here's something that I think we need to keep in mind here. It appears that this was given tacit Russian support at the very least, or it could be even more serious than that. But we don't know for sure. I do know this: Putin was on the phone right away to Obama talking about this plane crash immediately. Now, that's either a very, very, very shrewd move on his part, which I don't think it was, or I think it was a situation. I tend to believe I could be way off base here, but this could have just been a wanton act by a pro-Russian separatist in eastern Ukraine that acted on his own and was gloating about it and all that other stuff without full Russian approval. We don't know.
I can agree with you on that. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Did you see Rachel Maddow on Friday evening when she played the reports from 2 weeks ago at a Pentagon briefing where the general had said that they had just confirmed that those trucks, those rocket launching trucks that can take aircraft out of the sky, there had been like three or four of them that had been moved into the Ukraine in that area. 2 weeks later, this happened. Now, she was following the facts as we could find them in already published news in the last month. And she said, it's still assumptive, but it does the facts of the matter that you can bring to it suggest that Russia did actually lend their military ability and their arms to these separatists, enabling this tragedy to happen.
Yeah, that could very well be, and that's very bad. But on the other hand, we don't know if the Russians directed this or if it just happened because the stuff happened to be there and they capitalized on it, and the separatists capitalized on it. We don't know.
Yeah, the thing is, you have to be trained on these systems. These are very complex, intense systems that you have to have some really formal months and months training on. Right. You're not just going to get somebody walking up with a shoulder-held surface-to-air missile, and pull a trigger.
Right.
In other words, they gave children the toys, but they were not fully trained. And this is something. Well, David is saying that this is what he believes, that some field officers got clearance to launch on local command judgment. A mistake was made, and he no way believes the command came from Russia. No way, and that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, too, if you remember back in the if you remember back in the 80s. A Korean jet airliner was shot down by a Russian. So it's like, it's kind of a repeat of history. You get somebody that has orders to protect your airspace, et cetera, and they get a blip, and they didn't go through and properly identify it. They shot it, and it was in the 80s that they really shot down a Korean passenger airline.
That's right.
And again,
that
was a very black eye for Russia, and the rest of the world at that time stood up and said, "These bastards are crazy."
Well, I think David has a lot of good points there, and I think he's definitely on the right track. But again, we just don't know at this point. That's what's so maddening.
No, I'll agree with you on that one too.
And you can't hear again is the basic consideration. Saw this on Facebook this week with people who were. I'm thinking of one person that I know who is a very kind, compassionate woman who has a great deal of integrity in her own profession, and yet she, you know, she was born and raised a Canadian Jew, and she basically believes the rhetoric that the government feeds. So she says, you know, oh no, you know, this is wrong. This is all the fault of the Palestinians, and they're basically getting what they started. It's unfortunate, but that's where it is. And you know, Oso and I had quite a conversation last night about it, saying, you know, some people are just that they aren't aware, and if they were aware, it's like a 190-degree turnaround happens when they become aware of the fact and understand how much they are being spun by the leadership they think is so, you know, vaulted.
Exactly.
And that goes for, you know, how much of this country, but it's funny because the majority in European countries and other countries are not like that. North America, very much so. But European countries, a lot of the populace are very aware of facts. They know what's in play.
Well, they, for one thing, they pay attention. They're not obsessed with entertainment and nonsense that isn't news. They pay attention to what's going on, and they have multiple access to they have access to multiple points of news sources, and they use them, and they're much better informed.
Jack, it's that their news sources are not so much. They are not
corporatist.
They are more Murdoch in those groups, you know.
Right.
It's not news for profit over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's real steel journalism.
Right.
And we have program TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's entertainment oriented here. It's so twisted. In this country, it's so twisted. And it's even starting to get that way in Canada. That's a real shame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has been in Canada for quite a while, actually. Actually,
their Canadian broadcasting has been vastly superior to ours for a long time, but it's starting to get our attributes, and that's not a good thing.
Well, if you turn on, I made the mistake of turning on Friday morning to, or was it, excuse me, yesterday morning onto CNN. And here's Wolf Blitzer putting Netanyahu on the air to reaffirm to the American public the Knesset's rhetoric about
Wolf Blitzer's worthless.
Well, no, the point is that this is just pure corporate messaging.
Exactly.
You know, I do not get how so many people are so willing to embrace the fear and the absolute lies that are coming out.
Well, it's the Chicken Little syndrome. I mean, that's a parable, the Chicken Little. I mean, people are always looking for that panic of the sky is falling. It's kind of in our human nature.
Yeah. And there are people out there very willing to prey on that, and they do it very successfully.
Exactly.
Well, the point is that we've really tasked here to swing that around and shift that paradigm of thought, you know? Bring it away from nationalism and to a more global or planetary state of mind, because we are fast losing our grip on the health of the planet. And that means that and everything that's being done for overall corporate profiteering is destructive. We know that. How can everything that's going on, the poisonings that are multiply going on each week of our water tables and communities across this planet, and especially in this country, that make the news and all of it? Look what's happened to Oklahoma with fracking. They are living in an earthquake zone there.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. All of the quakes that have gone on from fracking there. And we know what it is, and still there's like this dopamine quiet.
The old dodo birds, right.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Glenn, let me interject this thought here. Of course, just this week, the jury in Florida handed down like the largest penalties to R.J. Reynolds of like 23-point-some billion, with a B, to the widow of a 36-year-old man who died because he was a chain smuggler. He was addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, we all remember back in the late 60s and 70s, right, there was the authoritative scientist saying, well, there's no true link yet between cigarette cancer, I mean, cigarettes and lung
smoking.
Cancer.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now, let's fast forward today. The oil industry is employing these same misinformation firms that work for the tobacco industry, spreading that bullcrap lie that we knew cigarettes were causing lung cancer, but they kept wanting to plant that seed of this, you know, well, we haven't proven it yet, it's not proven yet, all that kind of crap. They're doing that exactly with the oil industry today, global warming, fracking, the whole nine yards.
Well, I saw on either Amy Goodman or Tom Hartman, I can't remember which, a figure that kind of startled me. They said in 53 years, we are going to be completely out of oil reserves across the whole planet. And, you know, that seems like a long time off, but really it isn't.
No.
The amount of oil we're using and increasing all the time, I mean, it's got to exhaust itself eventually. And there's nothing at this point available to replace it.
Right. That'll be in my daughter's lifetime, both of them.
Isn't that terrible?
My daughter's lifetime.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
And hopefully, we'll still have good enough air that we won't be and good enough water left on this planet that we'll be able to switch to something besides these damn fossil fuels ahead of time and avert this crisis.
Real climate or authentic climate change science is predicting that in less than that, anywhere from 30 to 20 years, we will not be able to consume the oxygen. There won't be enough to sustain quality life on this planet. You know, it's not just that we are we're robbing ourselves of the future, but we're taking every species of life on the surface
with us.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. Right.
It's deplorable and all for want of ignorance and fear. And the only way to actually combat it is to put the truth out there the best you can, or what you know to be the truth.
Right.
At least there's light in that direction. It's still stunning me, especially with social media and all, how much ignorance just clings.
Well,
the
thing
American population.
There's two at work, where I work here, that, they read the Drudge Report and all this kind of stuff, and they're just, the crap that comes out of their mouth, I can't make it up. I mean, I write about this stuff. It's like, I will stimulate them just so I can hear what they're saying, and then I write articles about it and stuff. They are, if it has any kind of an anti-truth, as far as this is what we're doing here, and it's coming from the sources that they are, they're embracing it and will give it to you as if it was God's honest truth.
Yeah,
and
they really believe it. They're really deluded.
Because they want to believe it. That's
exactly.
Why they want things to be. It is wanted ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the stuff that comes out of their mouth, did you know that shooting down this and Malaysian airline is because people don't have respect for the United States because Obama's president.
Yeah, it's all Obama's fault.
There you go.
I was like,
how in the hell did Obama get blamed for this? Right?
I know.
It's like, really? I mean, what disconnect in your head made those links together?
Those people are nuts. They're racist. They hate Obama with a passion.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
It's insane. And yes, he's done a lot of bad things as well as a few good things, but they attribute everything negative to him, and that is that's not rational. That's insane.
I was going to say, a global crisis like this. Go ahead, Gwen.
I got a good one for you here, though. There was a article out of Salon.com called Right-Wing Obstruction Could Have Been Fought, An Ineffective and Gutless President's Legacy Is, and it's a pretty good one, but there's a quote that was posted in Roundtree 7, the journey with Roundtree 7 over on Facebook, that I thought was a hella quote, and I'll read it. For my money, they should be carved in stone over the entrance to his monument. Barack Obama as the one-man rescue squad for an economic order that has aroused the fury of the world. Better, Obama as the awesomely talented doctor who kept the corpse of the dead philosophy lumbering along despite it all. And I think that's it in a nutshell.
That's very true, you know. And yet the far right has the audacity to claim that he's a socialist and is bad for capitalism and all this other stuff, when actually he is like FDR did in a different way. He has saved capitalism to the detriment really of mankind.
Yeah, well, this country before the 2008 election, the banking, the whole infrastructure of our economic system was devastated. It was dead. It was killed because of the policy of Bush and Cheney, and especially the Republicans of the 2004
and all the deregulation
control. They destroyed the economy.
Reagan and his trickle down freaking economics.
Yes. That's all who started.
It's all there long before these guys. They weren't smart enough to put
they accelerated it to the point where it just got ridiculous. And all the deregulation that occurred that had that happen, that caused all that was bad news, man.
It started with Reagan because he destroyed the middle class with busting unions and everything like that and cutting taxes, irresponsibly cutting taxes. A lot of people don't realize, he cut taxes the 4 years, but then in the next 7 years, he was working with Tip O'Neill saying, we got to have more money. We're not running the government. And Tip O'Neill told him,
he actually raised taxes a lot.
He raised them seven times.
And
O'Neill told him, he said, I will get your tax increases. Oh, go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry.
Don't forget who the hell struck down Glass-Steagall.
That was a big disappointment.
Clinton got buffaloed on that one.
Buffalo, the son of a bitch is worth billions now. He took advantage of it.
I bet he did.
They're all corrupt. I'm sorry.
It's terrible. It's really horrible. You know, and it's a real shame that is a big deceit has been perpetrated on the American people, and a lot of people are unfortunately still buying it. It's terrible, you know.
Glenn, I will agree with you. I agree with you on your statement there that Reagan started it. Clinton really compounded it, but man, Bush and Cheney ran it off the cliff on steroids.
They did. Exactly right.
They did nail it, but you know the thing is, we are the American public is getting chicken fed right now. Chicken fed. Seeds are just being spewed out across the plains, and people are gobbling up Hillary for president.
I'm having a hard time with that.
Nightmare. That this country. That's like saying, polish the coffin. Polish the coffin. You know? Putting that broad into the White House would be, I am a woman whose great-great-grandmother sat in the rooms in Rochester. And I'm going to tell you what, this is not a woman that belongs in a position of leadership in this day and age. No way.
No, she's too corporate, too bought out. She's too corrupted by Wall Street and wealth and all that stuff. We need a progressive woman. Not a reactionary, business-oriented woman. We need somebody that can work on behalf of all the people, not just the wealthy. And we're not seeing it in Hillary Clinton.
And Jack, because I know that I've sent you both this article here, Elizabeth Warren has got a big movement within the Democratic Party saying, Hillary's got clout and everything, and, you know, she's up there. The nation will vote for her as president, but you know what? We also really need to take a look at Elizabeth Warren because she is speaking things that ring true to a good bit, and I mean a good majority of the population in general.
Well, like I emailed you back, Wayne, I'm a proud owner of a hoodie that reads I'm a member of the Elizabeth Warren wing of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
That says it all.
I like it.
Either side of the street, red or blue, do you think either side of the street is not wholly owned and fully subsidiary to some corporation?
You're absolutely right, Gwen.
Almost unanimous majority of both parties are.
Howard Hughes made sure that he invested into both candidates.
Elizabeth Warren, and this was a great disappointment, and Krell has reminded me, I remember reading this, she just voted full support for Israel and its Gaza operation. She did not stand up and say this is wrong.
That's too bad.
And that's a shame. That's a big one.
That is a shame. I agree.
You know, I know what you gentlemen are saying, and you're both correct because it is what it is, and we have to work with what we've got. Changes. Until we stand up inside what we got or outside of it with full throat and say, this is wrong and here's a better idea, nothing's going to change. It's just going to be...
Well, we've got to shout it out. We've got to shout it out. That's all there is to it.
Well, you're exactly right. And, I don't care which side, the spectrum you stand on, there's a lot of people in the center aspect of the spectrum are saying, you got to get the money out of politics. That's just a truism.
Exactly right.
And the thing is, now ask me if it's going to happen.
That is
so
key.
Not anytime soon.
No, we've got to do something major. You know, that brings up a very fantastic organization that I want to popularize on this show right now. It's called movetoamend.org. I had a post on it not too long ago, and I'll tell you what. They want to get the money out of politics. They want to reverse this crazy decision, this crazy Citizens United decision that the Supreme Court came up with. And the way they're going to try and do it is they're going to try and get this constitutional amendment passed, which will say that corporations are not people and that money is not free speech, which is pure common sense. That
exactly.
is vital. We have
exactly.
got to get that through. We've got
exactly.
to get that into the Constitution because right now corporations are completely ruining this country, completely
exactly.
ruining it lock, stock, and barrel.
It's the typical rape, plunder, and pillage the wasteland.
And they've turned the Supreme Court into an extreme court that's extremely pro-business and anti-individual freedom and individual rights. It's terrible.
This is the side of the Supreme Court I've seen.
I'm going to bring this up, too, and I've said this before, and David's saying it right now, and I think this is really important. It's just for me to interject, but David's saying this, I quote, to me, there are subjects that are to be debated, and then there are absolute deal breakers, and voting for war for anything except defense from attack is a deal breaker.
I agree.
Yeah, we all go there.
These wars for adventure and profit and plundering are just, we can't have that shit anymore. That's got to end right here and now, period.
Gwen, let me share this with you. When I heard a lot of those, we're going to go into war because mass destruction, and Saddam Hussein, by the way, attacked us, with 9/11. Somehow they got that in their head, right? We need to buy every military weapon that, is out there to protect this country and this stuff. And as they're ranting and raving, and they take a pause, I ask him, I say, when did you serve? Oh, well, I didn't serve in any of the armed forces. Okay, I did. And so you're telling me now that you really know nothing about what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're pissed at me, but the conversation's ended.
Wayne, I got to say that, I don't think to be a productive part of the political solution or conversation or activism, because you guys are both activists just with your words,
right.
that have to have been a part of serving the country in a uniform. I think what's more important is to bring people together in a sense of community and not separate them because
I agree.
It's, It's just, it's gotten too freaking hard. We have a gentleman in the house here, in the house, you know, in the chat room, who's running for president. Kind of like our Eric, we've had him on. You remember Eric?
Eric Cantor, opponent, right.
Well, no, his name is Eric Schrechter, or
he's a mathematician.
A lot of people are doing their very best to step up to and take a swipe at a leadership that has responsibility to it. Whether or not you agree with the policies of a person who is saying, look, I think it's important enough to change this whole thing that I'm willing to put myself on the block, there's something still very noble about that, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's democracy in action.
Yeah. It's running for office.
With a small d, yep.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I agree with that, too. I can. It's just, you know, kind of getting back to my statement is when I hear blowhards who talk all tough.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
But I ask them, did you ever step up? Like many of my generation did and had to, right?
Well, like the chicken hawk
you hear. There you go. That's exactly what I was trying to portray. Yes, exactly. Chicken hawk Cheney.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, David's saying, and I love putting his stuff in here because he stirs us up. 9/11 was a small group, 20 to 50 behind the scenes. We had a right to go after them, but we turned a small group of terrorists into major wars with two countries behind the scenes and with 10 countries. Plus, it has changed us. We're no longer the country we were prior to 9/11.
I agree.
It's just, David. It's quite true.
Absolutely.
And you know, since
we've lost freedoms, we've lost the writ of habeas corpus, which has been a tenet of Western, not just the United States, but
Western
thinking for years and years and years, centuries. And since King John, for God's sake, in 1215 in England, you know, and we've completely debunked that and destroyed that. We've lost freedoms up the yin yang, left, right, and center, to paranoid so-called anti-terrorists who are destroying our freedoms. They really are.
Yeah. I was talking with Jack, you know, before the show went on, and we were talking about, because a handful of religious fanatics managed to get a hold of an airline and crash it into the building in New York, the World Trade Center. We have trampled on our illegal search and seizures, our Constitution, the 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights that Jefferson insisted be put into this Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
We just tossed it all out of the window and trampled all over it. And I cannot comprehend how we as a nation allowed this to happen and allowed it to continue to happen.
Well, we need to restore those Bills of Rights and others that have been trampled upon. We need to restore them. And if it takes another constitutional amendment to do it, we've got to do that. That's why I strongly endorse movetoamend.org.
Absolutely.
Please go to their website, everybody. Go to their website and you can learn about them. It's a very noble organization that deserves our support and our contributions, whether they're monetary or they're in other forms. So their credo deserves to be trumpeted loud across this country.
Exactly, I agree.
You know, I'm gonna put David back in the conversation.
Okay.
He's saying, when have we ever claimed the legal right to torture, to kidnap? Not even during World War II.
Only during Bush and Cheney.
I was gonna say
we had
and Gonzalez gave them. Gonzalez gave them. I mean, the obviously inaccurate, but gave them the ruling saying that yes, this is legal. But yet, when it was, we brought up Japanese prisoner of war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
We executed a Japanese officer for doing the exact same thing to an American soldier.
Exactly.
If it was illegal back then,
it, you know,
it warrants
selective,
the death penalty.
It's selective
it's
morality.
Illegal today and warrants the death penalty. There was
selective
nothing.
Selective morality. We can't have that.
Exactly. And that was another egregious bullcrap ruling.
Exactly.
That Cheney pushed and shoved through.
Oh,
the
you bet. And it actually was John Yoo, who's the most crooked attorney I've ever heard of in my life, to come up with that very narrowly interpreted authorization for torture. Torture, my ass. I'm so disgusted.
Well, you know, I can remember when I was young, I mean, you know, like a 10, 11-year-old, and listening to the conversations, the political conversations at my house, and I can remember hearing people say, well, we lived through and we swung back, we gained back from the McCarthy era.
Oh, we're back in it now.
Yeah.
It's terrible. We've regressed to that point. You know, that, and I remember that was the age of liberalism, Gwen, because McCarthy was completely discredited. All his crazy guys, even William F. Buckley Jr., came out against the crazy John Birchers, who saw communism everywhere and communists under every bed, and he said, you guys are crazy, get out of my life, get out of my party, you know, and you know what? The country went his way, and they agreed, and that's when we saw great civilization saving bills being passed, like civil rights, you know, the Great Society programs, all these things were so beneficial to the middle class and the poor. And, you know, Lewis Powell ruined all of that by slowly but surely turning first the Republicans and then the judicial system and everything else against those great programs. And the end is not in sight yet as far as his devastation is concerned. It's still ongoing.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, for the listeners, I'd like to remind you that the Koch brothers' father was the one who funded the John Birch Society, which was nothing more than a reforming of the Klan under a different name.
Exactly.
And now today, history repeats itself. Oh, back then, they were called Minutemen. Those that were John Birch's, they were Minutemen ready to grab their arms up and come to battle on notice call. Today, we have tea parties, they're called patriots, and they're funded by the sons of that man. It's the same thing rehashed.
And there's a libertarian streak that runs through their philosophy, which is, it's crazy. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, there's this, too. We're on the wrong side of humanity. Most of the Western world and the Eastern world is in their craze for profiteering. But the country did things that were pretty atrocious even in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but the government kept it secret. They never claimed exceptionalism and the right to do these things. And I'm quoting David, it's incredible that we seem to be one step forward, like you say, the Great Society and civil rights, and then
two steps backward.
And then two steps back, yeah. And sometimes
it's sad.
Yeah, we're
that's why we've got to keep pushing forward. We've got to keep pushing forward and get as much ground as we can.
Well, I'll quote Arthur Schopenhauer. He was a great German philosopher in the mid-1800s. He said, all truth goes through three stages. And you can hear this on the Rush Limbaugh show, you know, these stages. First, it is ridiculed. Rush Limbaugh on the blowhard radio, they will ridicule and make fun and, you know, call you names. The intelligentsia, you know, kind of slanderous thing.
Yeah.
Then, second stage is it's violently opposed, which means the truth is being recognized and more people are saying, no, this is accurate, you're not. So that's why it's violently opposed. And third, and the final stage of all truth is, it's accepted as being self-evident.
Right.
Yeah.
It's such a struggle till you reach that point.
Exactly. Oh, it's ugly. It's an ugly process. And
very
people
ugly.
Die. People get injured, you know, in this process as these three steps of the truth are moving forward. Oh, it was just like the civil rights movement. They were communists. This is communist influence. That came from the
McCarthy
exactly.
Era. I remember that.
And the John Birchers, right?
Right. I remember that.
Second
nonsense.
Is these people are, you know, they're going to come and rape your women and stuff, and they're going to, you know, all kinds of, you know, the sky is falling Chicken Little crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
If these people have the right to just go into any restaurant or be served in any counter, lunch counter, you know, around.
Mm-hmm.
And third
what about
is,
my right as a business
owner
and all that nonsense?
That's right, my right as a, right, we're hearing it again today, right?
Rand Paul says that stuff.
Exactly. You know, if it's my business and I have a right not to serve a homosexual couple if I choose not to. Yeah.
He's another wackaloon.
Right? And then third, as we do today with civil rights, is it is viewed as being self-evident. These are human beings that have the rights as every other human creature on this earth.
Yep. And it's, unfortunately, it took a lot of lynchings and other things before that to open people's eyes. And they finally realize the correct decision.
What is it going to take to open people's eyes? I don't know. I know that you guys don't do much web surfing like I do, you know, with the social media.
Facebook. I'll correct you on that. I'm always checking it out. I'm not on Facebook very much.
Lord, I am.
I mean the social media. But I have seen pictures of so many children and stuff from Palestine that's been going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh good Lord. I mean,
it's terrible.
Well, and Gwen, I cannot look at those pictures. I'll just, you know, everyone has some of their own life's experience. I cannot go back and look at those kind of pictures.
They are so upsetting.
I have too many scars myself.
Yeah, right. That's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad, Gwen, I'm very glad that you're as active as you are regarding Facebook. That's not the be-all and end-all of social information. The Internet itself is abundantly full of that stuff, and I'm constantly surfing for everything.
I'll tell you, Jack, I get too over-confused sometimes just on Facebook with Twitter. I scan that on my phone late at night, and I find out things that it takes 2 and 3 and 4 days or even a week sometimes for it to make the news. And then I see other things that are just so, oh my gosh, it's just pretty awful. And then really fabulous stuff, but I mean, the photographs, the casualties, people get this stuff and they send it out. And
that's good.
It's ad hoc journalism.
Very good. And you know what? We need a lot of that. We need as much of that as we can get. And the sad thing is that these tragic events are even occurring in the first place. It's just horrible, you know? And we can decry them all we want. They're still going on, and they still will continue to go on. But the more people we can alert to them, the better off I think we're going to be in the aggregate.
Yeah.
You know, gentlemen, I thought about this week, and I would like to ask each of you in turn what you posted on your blogs this week to give us a little synopsis so people can go over and check it out. Do you mind doing that?
Sure, you bet. Go ahead,
Wayne. No, I want you to start.
Oh, okay. I had a big blurb on movetoamend.org, and I also had one on how I believe that Walgreens drugstores should be completely boycotted, and the reason being they're trying to skimp away with taxes. They're trying to declare themselves a Swiss-owned corporation. They're attempting to move their headquarters over to Switzerland to avoid paying taxes here. Although all their stores are in the United States and its possessions, they want to avoid high corporate taxes here, is what they say, and save $750 million. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's great for the stockholders. But what about, let's look at the facts here. Walgreens has all its operations here in this country and in its possessions. And in the process of doing that, they warehouse all their goods here. They use our roads. They use our airplanes. They use everything here to generate their profits here, but they don't want to pay any taxes on it, or they want to pay much less taxes on it. I'm sorry, man, that's not right, and I think we should boycott them as a result, and that's my latest one.
I agree. That's called tax inversion, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Tax inversion, that's right. Yeah, it's
exactly
it's
right. And thing is, if you're going to be in the United States, you should be a good citizen and steward
exactly.
of the country of where you're at.
You should support your community because without it, you've got no business.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I was taught by my father's family. If you enjoy privileges of profit from some community, then you return the favor. You must take care of the community because that's why you enjoy what you do.
And taxes are the dues we pay for a civilized society, period.
Agreed.
That's plain
agreed.
And simple.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, my last posting was with reference to what happened in Nebraska on the 4th of July. Someone thought they were being clever by having their flatbed pickup with an outhouse and said that this is the Obama's presidential library, a wooden outhouse.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, my quote in this is, you know, this was not a matter of cleverness, but an instant of ignorance.
Exactly.
I don't care who is in the office. There is a certain amount of respect for the office of the presidency. And these people here on that parade route who were pointing and laughing, thinking it was a good joke, you know, cleared that despicable level of tastelessness in their street shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my the latest one. And matter of fact, I even sent what you read in my posting. I sent to the city administrator saying on there, and basically I was calling them out. I said,
"Good for you, Wayne. Good job."
You know, those who approved this float, and look, it had honorable mention as far as being one of the winning floats. So in other words, the judges were, you know, as despicable as the citizens. For number one, not only allowing it in there, but it got voted as being one of the better floats in the parade.
That's
how incredible.
The mindset tasteful. Of very ignorant people.
Exactly. And basically I closed up with, just as Jackie Robinson had to tolerate the racial slurs and insults while he was breaking the color barrier, which we are now holding him up in an admirable way for tolerating it, biting his tongue, not reacting back.
Poor guy. Yep.
I'm projecting in the future here that President Obama will be viewed as the same way. He put up with a lot of ignorance, a whole lot of ugly, supplied by stupid comments.
Very well put. Very well put, Wayne. Yep.
Yeah. There's no
unnecessary.
There has to be for
the office.
Whether you agree or not for the office. Today or this last week, there's a new video made by David Williams over at Roundtree 7. It's a Roundtree video. It's called Afraid. And it's really worth seeing. It's about 2 minutes long, and it has all of what we've been talking about, really. It's just quintessentially in that video. It's really a wonderful piece. It brings the point home that we're spending too much time dedicated to fear and hatred. Guys, we're at the
chicken,
top.
Yeah, the Chicken Little Syndrome.
And we're at the top of the hour. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with me this week again. And
Thank you, Gwen.
We'll be back again next week at 6 p.m. for the Sunday
Keep
show.
Keep pushing forward.
That's right. I look forward to this. And the thing is that what we are doing is very important. Tell your friends, have them tune in.
That's right.
Thank you for
listening. Yep. Goodbye, all.
Good night, Wayne. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, 6 p.m. And as Wayne says, tell your friends. You can hear us in archive also. This has been the Sunday Show, and that's all we got.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week. Keep pushing forward, everybody. Thanks, Gwen. Good night.